Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
Willing to stay before me and pray in the Spirit until it turns from a mystery into a divine revelation? Who will pray before me and stay edified and strengthened and full of love and full of faith and full of power right now in the midst of all that's going on, so you can be a light shining in the darkness? In fact, Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit himself helpeth us in our infirmities and our weaknesses, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself takes hold together with us against the problem and helps us to pray out the things of God. He knows he's there, and we've got the helper on the inside, and we've got the power on our lives. And praying in tongues is a way to ignite that power in your life and keep it burning in your life, praise God. And somebody says, well, do you think I could get it? I mean, you know, I'm just concerned I might get the wrong thing. Look over in Luke's gospel, the 11th chapter real quick. Luke chapter 11, drop down here to verse 11. The Lord Jesus says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Jesus just, he's looking at him. Would you do that to your kids? Your kids came to you, would you do something mean to them? Would you, treat them like that? Would you do something that bad? It's a question. He says, if then you, being evil or natural, earthly, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get something false. I'm not going to get something wrong. I'm going to get what I've asked for, because I'm going to ask my Heavenly Father. Notice, your Heavenly Father, he's got to be your Father before you can get the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read it to you again. See, I'm keeping this consistent. You got to get born again. You got to be a part of the family of God before you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm talking about being born of the Spirit. I'm talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the endowment of power. Let's read that last verse again. If you then, being evil, talking to these earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more? Ooh, hallelujah. Look at that. How much more will your heavenly Father? Notice he's got to be your heavenly Father. Not everybody that's on the earth can call God Father. You have to be born into his family. Amen. You have to become a child of God by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord to call him your heavenly Father. But once you make him your heavenly Father, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now that tells me this too. He's not going to force me to receive it. Not going to force me at all to receive the Holy Spirit. He's not going to force me. But I want to tell you what. You know who's going to get the Holy Ghost? In Acts chapter 2. There were 120 people who had just locked themselves in that upper room and were praying and fasting and seeking God, because the Lord said, stay right here, stay put until you're endued with power from on high. They'd already been given the commission. They'd already been told to take the gospel to the nations. But they'd also been told, don't try to do anything in your own strength or ability. Get endued with power. And they were hungry. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but they wanted that power in their life. And on the day of Pentecost, they're in the temple. They're just worshiping God. Actually, they're up in the upper room, actually. And they're up in that upper room, and they're worshiping God. And all of a sudden, man, it's just a sound like a mighty rushing. It sounded like a tornado hitting that place, because the glory of God came into that house. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon them, all of them, as they were sitting there. Isn't that amazing? They got filled with the Holy Ghost sitting. And said, then divided tongues of fire sat upon each of them. In other words, the Holy Ghost came on each one of them individually. And that fire came on them and came down in them. And when it got down in them, up out of their spirit, they began to pray in other tongues. Supernatural language given to them, a heavenly language given to them by the Spirit of God. And they immediately went out of that upper room. They were no longer afraid of the authorities. They were no longer concerned what people were going to say about them. They were no longer weak, staggering, begging, barely getting along Christians. They were endued with power from on high, speaking in tongues, prophesying, magnifying the Lord, glorifying Him. And they came right down out of that upper room, got out in front of the crowds, and people started looking at them. They said, whoa, there's something happened with these people. Man, they are wild. And Peter got up and began to preach to them. I'll tell you what caused the change. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In these last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit, and He's going to do signs and wonders. And Jesus made it possible. And if you believe on Him, you can receive this gift. But the speaking in tongues is what got the attention of everybody around Him. Listen to me, folks. Paul left that room seeing and talking in tongues when Ananias laid hands on him. Cornelius and his whole house, I mean, they had that place packed out. Had a home meeting, and the Holy Ghost fell on them while they were sitting there, and they all started speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Because when you talk in tongues, it magnifies God, glorifies God, makes Him bigger in your sight. And when you're praying in tongues, all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you what, when I feel myself weak, I just get off by myself and pray in the Spirit. Because praying in tongues is more of a private thing than it is an outward thing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. But then in the very next verse he said, but in church I'd rather speak five words that people can understand that I could teach you than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Meaning what? Tongues is not a public thing. Sometimes we'll have a tongue and interpretation, but that doesn't mean that we're all just supposed to do it. But we're all supposed to be filled with the Spirit, receive a prayer language, and be able to pray those divine secrets unto our God. And why do you pray in tongues? To edify yourself, to strengthen yourself, to build yourself up, to pray for God's will, and to be ready so that when the Lord says, I need you to do this for me, you can hear His voice. And you can have the boldness to go do what God has called you to do. And folks, I want to tell you something. It brought great joy to me whenever I read, if I ask my Heavenly Father, He will give me the Holy Spirit. I didn't have to be concerned about getting something false or wrong. Some people say, well, I'm just concerned I'll get something wrong. Listen, you're not down at Joe's Bar and Grill. You're here at New Life Church. Amen. I mean, you know, if you're out here with some cult, somebody, and you know somebody that's full of drugs, and you want them to lay hands on you, you'll never get anything. But you know what? We're not in that environment. We're coming before our Father. We're asking Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Why? I want to pray in tongues. I want to worship Him in the Spirit. I want to experience that in my life. But at the same time, I want to have His power operating in my life. I want to have the gifts operating in my life. I want the anointing operating in my life. I want to be used of God. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, the kingdom of God needs to rise up in power and glory and the anointing and begin to bring down the kingdom of darkness and set the captives free. And I want to tell you something. Not only does Peter tell us judgment begins in the house of God, I'm going to tell you the Bible tells us revival begins in the house of God. Because God writes over in 2 Chronicles 7, and He says this, if my people who are called by my name will repent, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face with all that's in them, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, heal their land, and move in a mighty way. Meaning what? We got to get hungry for God. And I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit's done. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify the Lord in our lives. He's come to help us to be kingdom citizens doing the work of the kingdom of God. And I'm here to tell you, it's one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my life. And I encourage you to receive. I can remember reading Brother Hagin's book, Seven Vital Steps to Receiving the Holy Ghost. On Tuesday evening, June the 7th, 1977. Y'all didn't know Tuesday, June the 7th, 1977 was a Tuesday, did you? A little over 43 years ago, I was in my house. Actually, Bonnie's down in Virginia at the old farmhouse. We were staying there in the summer between college and Rhema. Didn't know Rhema at that time. I just knew I was done with college and seeking God what to do. And I can remember just kneeling down and praying that simple prayer. Lord Jesus, you're my Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with the Holy Spirit right now. And I believe I received the Holy Spirit coming to me. Holy Spirit, I receive you. Back then I had the King James. I called him my comforter. And I believe you, Holy Spirit, that you give me the ability to speak to my Father in heavenly language. And by faith right now, I'm going to speak in tongues and worship God. And I can remember taking a deep breath and just waiting for a second. And I can remember down on the inside, it just looked like there was something there. And I thought, what is that? Because I had my eyes closed. And the Lord spoke to me. And he didn't talk in tongues. He talked to my, in West Virginia, hillbilly. The Lord said, say it. I said, say what? He said, say what it looks like. I said, well, it looks like an L. Now, I'm not talking out loud. I'm thinking this in my head. The Lord said, well, go ahead and say it. Because, see, I'd never heard anybody talk in tongues. I'd never been in a service where they did that. So this is a brand new experience for me. I've never heard anybody else ever speak in tongues ever. Never heard it preached on. This is all me digging it out of the scriptures and finding it myself. And so I went, L. And when I did, it came right up and went out my mouth. I went, whoa. And then another thing came up, and I said it. And another thing came up, and up out of my spirit. See, I found out later on in John chapter 7, up out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it was starting to flow. And I began to speak in a heavenly language. And I want to tell you something. I can remember I was praying in tongues. I'd been praying in tongues for about 15 minutes, and all of a sudden the devil's standing right over here. I'm on my knees at the bedroom with my hands on elbows on the bed. I'm praying in tongues, worshiping God. And the devil says, boy, you're a pretty thing now. How you know it's the devil? Because it was out here. And it was doubt and unbelief and condemnation. And the devil said, you know that they thought you was crazy at that church. Now they're going to think you all fallen off the deep end. And he said, besides, that's not you. That's not God. That's just you. And I stopped for a moment because, see, now I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is the one that guides me in all truth. And I could remember reading where Jesus said over in John chapter 8 that the devil was a liar and the father of all lies. Verse 44, the Holy Spirit brought John 8:44. I mean, he's doing what the Lord said he'd do. He'd bring things to my remembrance. And the Holy Spirit brought that, and I said, I just stopped praying in tongues, turned and opened my eyes. Now, I didn't see the devil, but I knew he was there. And I said, Mr. Devil, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for confirming to me that I am filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Because if you say it's not, then it is because you're a liar. Now, in the name of Jesus, you just pack your bags and get out of this room and go in Jesus' name. Get out of here. I'll tell you what, he packed up his doubt and unbelief and left, praise God. And I closed my eyes and went right back to praying in the Holy Ghost. And folks, I want to tell you what, that's what it's all about. It'll help you. It's been one of the greatest things. It's the next greatest thing in my life after being filled, after being born again, was receiving the Holy Spirit as my helper and having him work in my life.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.